Hallelujah. Brother Martin?
Yes.
I'm called to preach the gospel. Are you now? Oh, yes. Well, how are you doing on your huzz?
On my what?
On your huzz. You know. And Jesus, He's the Lord God Almighty. Your huzz. How are you doing on your huzz? If you ain't got a huh, you ain't got no anointment. You should know that by now. So, go home and practice. You know why there's so much sin in the body of Christ, in the churches and all? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. It's because there's too much preaching about it. It's because there's too much preaching about it. You say, Brother Martin, how can you make such a statement? I mean, did you have too much hot sauce at lunch today? Because something has fried your brain. No, seriously. The reason there's so much sin in the body of Christ is because there's too much preaching about it. Now, I want you to think with me. Please think with me. If we are called to preach, anybody, doesn't matter who you are, if there's a call to preach, teach, evangelize, so on and so forth, then doesn't it stand to reason that our example, as far as how we do what we do, that our example should be Jesus and the apostles? Should it not be? Some of you act like you're not even sure about it. Well, I don't know. Okay, who else would your example be? So then let me re-ask the question. Should not, if the call to preach is there, should not our example be Jesus and the apostles?
Yes.
Oh, that feels good. You didn't say, huh? Yes, huh? Now that's anointed. Okay, now I want you to think with me. I'm guessing that probably everyone in this room has read the New Testament from Matthew all the way to 1st and 2nd Concordance. And think about what you've read. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the rest. There is more teaching about doctrine than there is sin. Go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He addresses doctrine more than he addresses sin. Now, he does address sin. We know that. But when you think closely about what he taught, in fact, you can read in Matthew, beginning in chapter 5, 6, and 7, what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Go back and read that. That whole thing is about doctrine. The Bible says that he preached and taught the kingdom of God. Now, he did address sin. We know that. But the majority of what Jesus taught had to do with doctrine, not sin. And then when you pick up in the book of Acts and you begin reading Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and on and on and on. Yes, Paul and Peter and John. I mean, they address sin, but the majority of what they taught and wrote about has to do with doctrine, not sin. But now let's jump forward 2,000 years. What do we see in the body of Christ? There's more teaching and preaching about sin than there is about doctrine. Think about it. Get the sin out of your life. Sinners don't go to heaven. You better stop this and you better stop that. He's watching you. And there's more in the body of Christ today about sin than there is doctrine. Now, think of this. If people got their doctrine right, the sin issue would take care of itself. Because if you're walking in truth, then you're going to be walking less in sin. But because the body of Christ has not focused enough on doctrine and too much on sin, and this is especially true in Pentecostal circles, then what we have is a whole lot of people. I mean, quite frankly, the attitude is almost like this. And see if you bear witness with this. The attitude is almost just live right. It really doesn't matter what you believe. Just live right. Just get the sin out of your life and live right. I mean, all this other stuff over here, you believe your way, you interpret it our way, we'll interpret it in this, but just get the sin out of your life. You see what I'm saying? But yet, if you got the whole doctrine issue settled, then the sin thing would begin to take care of itself. And if you read closely what Paul wrote, you can see how, yes, he identified the thing of sin, but if you really follow closely what he wrote, you'll be able to identify the fact that what he's saying is, if you guys would just get your head straightened out, if you just get your doctrine straightened out, then the sin issue is going to get straightened out too. Because one of the reasons you guys are so messed up with sin is because you're messed up in your doctrine. But if you get your doctrine straightened out, then sin's going to start taking care of itself. Think of it. I mean, this makes perfect sense. People who are walking in truth are not going to get out there and mess up. Now, I mean, you can. Don't misunderstand me, but you understand the crux of what I'm saying here. Now, let me show you some things in Scripture. Turn to John chapter 16, first off. Once again, there is more in the New Testament about doctrine than there is about get the sin out of your life. You know, I've shared this with you before, how that I really, for years, when I was a kid growing up, so on and so forth, I honestly did not understand what the New Testament was all about. And I did not, I understood the four Gospels, okay, that's about Jesus, crucified, resurrection, so on and so forth. But, you know, Acts and beyond, especially Romans, Ephesians, I mean, all those books in there, the Pauline epistles as they're called, what I did not understand was that those books were written to the body of Christ. Those books were not written to the lost. And so as I was growing up, nobody pointed that out to me. Or maybe they did, I just didn't listen, I don't know. But I thought those books were written to sinners. Then I can remember, I started reading through those books, and all of a sudden, the little light bulb went off above my head. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, these weren't written to sinners. Sinners wouldn't have a clue what some of this stuff is about. They're not even born again. And he's talking about born-again stuff in here. This is to the body of Christ. All these people that are messed up on this and messed up on that, he's talking about the body of Christ. And continually, over and over again, Paul was trying to redirect the church back on focus as far as doctrine is concerned. And once again, yes, he dealt with the sin issue. In John chapter 6, or 16, I want you to take a look here what Jesus said. In verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. All right, we'll stop right there for a moment. When he says, I have a whole lot of things to say to you, keep in mind, he's been preaching and teaching his whole ministry, about 3.5 years, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom, not the law, but the kingdom. And when he makes this statement to these guys, he says, look, there's a whole lot more that I need to teach you, but I can't, because right now you can't bear it. You can't handle it. It's just too much for you. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of what he said was almost too much for them anyhow. And he said, you can't bear it now. You can't bear it now. You can't bear it now. Howbeit, next verse, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, based on what he's saying here in verses 13 and 14, and considering what he said in verse 12, do you think it's possible that what Jesus is saying is this? I've given you guys all I can give you right now. However, the Holy Spirit's going to come in after me and he's going to pick up where I left off. And when he picks up where I left off, He's the one that's going to be able to guide you into all truth. In other words, I have not been able to guide you into all truth because you can't bear it. Well, why couldn't they bear it? It's because they didn't have a born-again spirit on the inside. They still had the sin nature. And with that sin nature, they could not bear, or they could not handle, or a better way to put it would be, they could not understand the magnitude of what was going on. I mean, you talk about a walk of faith. A lot of what they had was a walk of faith, and they weren't even born again. They just, you know, Jesus said it, so we're just going to take him at his word. We really don't understand everything he's talking about, but we're taking him at his word. And Jesus said, in essence, he's saying here, I have not been able to give you all truth, but the Holy Spirit will. And he's going to remind you of the things that I have said unto you. And you can read about some more of this over in John 14. He says, he's going to take things I've taught you. He's going to remind you of those things, but he's also going to take you beyond that. And he says here, he is going to, now look what he says in verse 13. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now what did Jesus just say in verse 12? I have many things to say, but you can't bear them. And he says, but now the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide you into all truth, and he's going to tell you what he hears. Who do you think he's going to be listening to? Jesus. If Jesus had a whole lot more to say, but they couldn't bear it, and then he says the Holy Spirit's coming to pick up where I left off, and he's going to guide you into all truth by speaking what he hears, then obviously it's going to be like, here's the Holy Spirit, he's down here with us, using this imagery. And he's saying, Jesus, what do you want me to tell them? And Jesus is saying, well, tell them this, and tell them this, and tell them this. Remind them of what I said back over there, and tell them this, and tell them this. And remind them of this other thing, and tell them this, and tell them this. And so the Holy Spirit is supposed to pick up, and get this. Everything that we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as incredible as all of that is, and as amazing as all of that teaching is, it is not everything that we're supposed to know. But if the Holy Spirit is supposed to guide us into all truth, then what does that say about the rest of the New Testament? Whatever we don't get in the four Gospels, we can get in Acts through the rest. Do you see this? Do you understand this? That's amazing, because most of the body of Christ doesn't. Now let's take this a little bit further. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Speaking of doctrine, when Jesus was ministering, the Bible, again, the Bible talks about the fact that Jesus taught and preached the kingdom. And if you go back and you read, you don't have to do it now, obviously, but if you go back and you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says things like, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. In other words, he's drawing a contrast between two different ways of living. One way of living was living under the law. The other way of living was living in the kingdom. And he's saying, look, here's how it's been, but I'm telling you now, ahead of time, what it's going to be like to live in the kingdom. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus got in a whole lot of trouble with the religious leaders. They thought he was coming against the law. And Jesus said right there in Matthew chapter 5, I didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came to fulfill. Well, once the whole thing's fulfilled, why should we keep teaching it? You need to know ahead of time what's coming your way. And what's coming your way is the kingdom of God. And he said in John chapter 3 that if you can't even get into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And how do you get born again? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So, Jesus, he taught as much kingdom doctrine as he possibly could in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And a lot of it's repeated in some of those Gospels, we understand that. He taught as much as he could. And he says, my time has ended. But the new person, or the other comforter, he's coming in to take my place. He's been with you, he'll be in you. And he's going to teach you all things. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll remind you of the things that I have said. He's going to remind you of the doctrine I've taught you about the kingdom. And then what he's going to do is pick up from that point and continue on with kingdom doctrine. Well, why would he do that? So we know what's going on. So we know how to live. So we can fulfill what we're called to do. See? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11... you know the Apostle Paul, he ministered, you know his story and so on and so forth. But let's look at something he said here. In verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances or the teachings as I delivered them to you. So Paul delivered teachings to them. And he says, you know, I'm really glad you guys kept them. Now, this is a real statement of faith, is it not? When you consider who he's speaking to. We won't go into that tonight. But he says, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the teachings. All right, let's change it a little bit more. Keep the teachings of the kingdom doctrine that I have delivered unto you. Then if you look at another verse, verse 23, he makes the statement and says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered, past tense, unto you. Well, and here he begins to teach about, starts talking about communion and so forth. However, this statement in verse 23 is not, the first part of verse 23 is not a communion statement, it is a doctrine statement. Because he says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So another way to put this is the doctrine that I delivered unto you is doctrine that I received from the Lord. Now what did Jesus say? You can't bear it all just yet, but the Holy Ghost, when He comes, He's going to pick up where I left off and He's going to deliver to you the doctrine that you need to hear. He is going to guide you, teach you all truth. I've only been able to give you a part of it, but He's going to be able to complete it. Remind you of what I said and then complete it and give you the rest that you need. And then Paul says, what I've received from the Lord, the doctrine, the teaching about the kingdom, kingdom doctrine, that is the thing that I delivered unto you. Now let's look at another place. Chapter 15. He says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then he goes on and begins to teach them some more. But once again, what we see here in verses 1 through 3 is that Paul is making a statement that, in essence, the kingdom doctrine that I taught unto you is doctrine that I received from the Lord. So twice now we have Paul making the statement that what I am teaching is something that was first taught to me, and it was first taught to me by the Lord. But now that's rather interesting, because didn't Jesus make the statement that the Holy Spirit was going to come and teach us and guide us into all truth? So then what is Paul talking about? Did he receive it from the Lord, or did he receive it from the Holy Spirit? He received it from the Holy Spirit as the Lord gave it to the Holy Spirit. Because remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would speak those things that He hears. So in other words, what Paul is identifying here is that, okay, I may have been taught these things by the Holy Spirit, but the source was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit passed it on to me. And so therefore, what I received from the Lord, I have given unto you. Now let's look at another place. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, just take a look, go to verse 11. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Another way to put that is, the gospel that you have heard me preach, its source is not man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So once again, we see that Paul is identifying Jesus as being the source of the doctrine that he teaches. Now, a lot of people get hung up on this word gospel. Well, if you go back over and you read in, I think it's Mark, it talks about how Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Folks, the gospel message is not just, you must be born again. The gospel message is everything contained here in the New Testament. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of born again, it's the gospel of the kingdom. Being born again gets you into the kingdom. See? So it's not simply, when people talk about preaching the gospel, in the truest sense of the word, it is, if you think that preaching the gospel only means you must be born again, you must be born again, that is only a smidgen of it. There, you must be born again is the starting point of the gospel of the kingdom. There is so much more beyond that. So when Paul is talking about the gospel that he has delivered, what he's saying is the kingdom doctrine that was given to me from Jesus Christ, I turn around and I give this to you. These are the things that I have taught you. And he has repeatedly made the statement, I didn't receive it from anybody other than the Lord. And here he in Galatians, he makes that statement, I didn't get it from man. Man didn't teach it to me. But now look at this, chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now let me explain what's going on here. And if you study the New Testament, you can see the timeline. You know, you can figure it out. But what he's talking about, he went back into Jerusalem with Barnabas and had Titus with him as well. And it says, he went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Okay, now what gospel is he talking about? The gospel of the kingdom. Or another way to put that would be kingdom doctrine. And he says, but privately, to them which were of reputation. Now, that's a nice, fancy, King Jamesy way of saying that he had a private meeting with the apostles. And you can go back in Acts and see where Paul actually met privately with, you know, the heads of the church, so to speak. He met with the apostles. And he says, I met privately with them, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So what he did, see, it says there in verse 1, 14 years after. I mean, some time is passing here. He's out there ministering and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he says, I didn't get it from man, I got it from Jesus Christ. But then he goes to Jerusalem and he has this sit down with the apostles. And he says, now fellas, let me tell you what I'm preaching. He says, I'm preaching this and I'm preaching that. And the doctrine is this and the doctrine is that. And in essence, what we read Paul writing about in the New Testament, that's what he shared with them that he was preaching and teaching. Now, if he had gotten it from man, then why would he have to go back and tell them that's what he was preaching? They would have already known because they would have been the ones that gave it to him. You see this? But because he didn't receive it from them, he goes back and he says, look, I want to make sure you guys know exactly where I'm coming from. Because man, God is moving powerfully among the Gentiles. Well, I preach this, I preach this, I preach this, I preach this, and they're listening. And you can imagine the looks on their faces. Wow, that's the same thing we preach. Why, Paul, how'd you get that? Well, never mind, dumb question. We know how you got that. This is, why, Peter, listen to that. You just preached that the other night. And John, did you hear that? Why, you just preached that 2 weeks ago. Remember back over? Yeah, that's why, Paul, this is incredible. But it's amazing, isn't it? God does something, and we think it's incredible, when really to Him, you know, it's like when people pray, oh God, move, oh God, move, and then when He moves, we act surprised. So He says here, I sat down, you know, all these years are passing, and I'm out there ministering, well, I finally get this opportunity to sit down with those that seem to be somewhat among us, and I share with them this gospel, or my doctrine. I let them know what's going on in my life and the kind of things that the Lord has given to me. And you know good and well that they related to Him the things that the Lord had given to them. In fact, I have no doubt whatsoever that, you know, Peter and John, whatever, they would have said, well, you know what, Paul? That is exactly what Jesus said there on that mount. You remember that, John, way back there when he was preaching and teaching and we were just so amazed at his doctrine because he's taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. You remember that, don't you, John? Well, praise God, Paul. That's just amazing. That just confirms to us that God's moving in your life and you're listening to Him because you're speaking the same thing that we are. And then if you look over here we'll get to this in just a moment. Something else I want to show you here in Galatians. Paul is preaching the doctrine that the apostles agree with. Now, this is extremely critical to understand. Because as you go through and you read the rest of this chapter and you read it, they did not tell him, Paul, you are so far off base, that's pathetic. If Paul had been off base, he'd have never gotten this far in his ministry. God would have shut him down. And he would have never had books in the Bible. So he goes to Jerusalem and he shares these things with the apostles. And the apostles are in agreement with what he's preaching and teaching. Because what they preached and taught came from the same source of Paul's doctrine, as Paul's doctrine. He got it from the Lord, and the apostles were preaching the same doctrine that came from the Lord. In other words, it's coming from Jesus. He's just looking for somebody that will listen to him. That's all. He's just looking for somebody that's going to listen to him and who will say, okay, Jesus, what do you want taught? And so he says, well, listen, now that you've asked, Holy Spirit, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this, tell them this. And so they preached and they teached and they taught, preached and they teached. They preached and they taught. And they and we end up with the Scripture. We end up with, you know, the New Testament. Okay, now, we've already established the fact that the apostles were in agreement with what Paul taught. And we're going to, look at a couple of things here in just a moment as far as what he taught. But I want you to see some more in this. Briefly, let's find out who else would have been in agreement with Paul. Turn first to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Now, do you think Paul would have said that about somebody who is not preaching and teaching the same doctrine? Absolutely not. Let's look at another place here. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 18. He says, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? In other words, are we not in unity? Titus and I, are we not in unity? Now, how could Paul have said that anybody was in unity with him if they did not preach and teach the same doctrine? Look at another place. Titus. Go ahead and turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Paul is writing this letter to him. And he makes a statement in verse 4. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now how in the world could you go in and set things in order or correct doctrine if you don't know correct doctrine? Do you understand that? And so Paul looks at Titus and he says, Titus, look, you know, and I've shared this, before, but think about this again, to me, because this is just so incredible. Paul is saying, Titus, you know as much as I do. Now, that may be my name associated with all these books that are going to end up in the Bible, but when it comes to understanding doctrine, Titus, you know as much as I do. That's why I left you there to correct those things. I don't have to be there, Titus, because you're going to set things in order exactly the same way that I would set things in order. Isn't that amazing? Let's look at something else. Who else would have been in agreement other than Titus? Turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Take a look at verse 17. Paul writes, for this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So he's saying, I'm sending Timothy to you. He knows exactly what I teach. He understands the doctrine as much as I do. He knows what I preach everywhere I go. I'm sending him to you so that he could convey this teaching, this message, these doctrines, whatever it would be. I'm sending him to you in my stead. Somebody could say, well, yeah, but you know, maybe Paul was locked up in prison. He'd have gone if he hadn't been locked up in prison. All right, maybe he was locked up in prison and couldn't go. But do you still think he's going to send somebody as his representative if that somebody doesn't know the same doctrine? He wouldn't have sent anybody. He'd have just prayed for the people and said, oh God, raise somebody up. I'm locked up here in chains. Or get me out of this prison so I can get down there and, you know, correct these things that need to be corrected. Look in chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 10. Now if Timothy come, See that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also. He worketh the work of the Lord as I also. So Paul is looking at Timothy literally as being his equal. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to the preaching and teaching, he is calling Timothy, he's my equal. Similar to what he said about Titus. Timothy is my equal. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, first two verses. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. In other words, if you guys are having any questions about doctrine, whatever it is you don't understand, Timothy is going to be able to come. We're going to hang around here in Athens, but we're going to send Timothy, and he's going to be able to straighten everything out. He's going to be able to make sure that everything is correct in your midst. Look over in Timothy, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And just look at verse 3. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now this is heavy. Because what he's saying is, and let this sink in. What he's saying is, Timothy, I'm sending you to Ephesus, the biggest church in the body of Christ at this time. And here's your charge. When you get there, I want you to find out who's preaching and teaching. And once you do that, I want you to do everything you possibly can to correct their doctrine so that they preach no other doctrine other than the doctrine that you and I, Timothy, are preaching. Now, the only way that Timothy could do that is if he knew it. Now, what doctrine do you think Timothy would have gone in and taught? Or what do you think he would have, if he were giving correct doctrine, what would that correct doctrine be? Well, Brother Martin, I know. That would be the doctrine of the kingdom. That's true. But what's another way to put it? The New Testament. Timothy would not have preached and taught anything that did not line up with what we have right here in our hands. In other words, if you want to know what Paul and Titus and Timothy preached, all you have to do is get in this book and start reading. And you're going to find out what they taught. See, this is why it's amazing to me. Is it amazing or not? It's both. It's amazing to me how people can be so messed up in what they believe and what they don't believe when you already know what was taught. I mean, it's right there in the Bible. It's there. And so if we want to be sure that we're correct in our doctrine, all we have to do is compare what we preach and teach to what we see right here in this book. Now let's look at another couple of things here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says in verse 19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." Now there's another passage that talks about Silvanus and him preaching and teaching and so forth with Paul. In other words, now we find somebody else. We have Timothy, we have all the apostles, we have Titus, we have Timothy, and now we have somebody else, Silvanus, who is preaching the same doctrine. Because Paul is including him in the things that they preached and taught. He said, this guy Silvanus, he preaches and teaches right along with Timothy and me. So he would have had to have known the doctrine. Now let's look at somebody else. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Then if you look over in verse 43, it says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews And religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So now we have another person that is identified as preaching and teaching right along side by side with Paul. Now listen, you know good and well that the Holy Ghost is not going to slap somebody up with Paul if that person does not know the doctrine. You see what I'm saying? So now we can include Barnabas in this group of people that are in agreement with the doctrine that we see preached and taught. Let's look at somebody else. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. Now what's happened is there has been, Acts chapter 15 is identifying a doctrinal issue. And they come to the conclusion of what this, how this issue should be settled. And it said, then pleased, verse 22, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now jump down to verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent them there, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. In other words, we're sending Paul and we're sending Barnabas, and we know what doctrine these guys preach, but we're also sending these other two fellows, Judas, Barsabbas, and Silas. And when they get there, they're going to preach and teach the exact same thing that Paul teaches, that Barnabas teaches, and that the rest of us are teaching. So now we have two more to add to this category. We have Silas, and we have this Judas, Barsabbas. In other words, by now, you know, we have a whole bunch of people that are preaching and teaching the same thing. Well, once again, what is it that they're preaching and teaching? The gospel or the doctrine of the kingdom. Not just you must be born again, but kingdom doctrine. Now look over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And look in verse 17. It says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Okay, now who delivered it? Well, in the case of Romans, Paul is the one that wrote this, but Paul wasn't the only one that preached it. We know that. So that means that the people he's writing to, if any of them had had the opportunity to hear Paul, or Titus, or Timothy, or Barnabas, or Judas Barsabbas, or Silas, or any of the other apostles, those people heard the exact same things that Paul was preaching and teaching to them. Now look over in Jude. Jude chapter 1, as though there is a chapter 2. Jude chapter 1. And look at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, and exhort you, and exhort you, that ye should steadfastly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What's he mean by that? That you should steadfastly contend for the doctrine that was once delivered unto the saints. What doctrine is he talking about? When Paul wrote over there in Romans and he said, you know, from the heart believed, you know, this form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. What doctrine was he talking about? He was talking about the doctrine of the kingdom. And then when Jude writes here, he says, listen, it was extremely urgent. You know, I was going to write to you about one thing, but now I have discovered that there's a real problem, and it's extremely urgent that I write unto you that you steadfastly contend for the faith or for the doctrine that was originally delivered unto you. Notice he doesn't say that you get the sin out of your life. He doesn't say that you steadfastly fight to live holy and righteous unto the Lord. He says that you steadfastly fight, earnestly contend for the doctrine, because if you don't, you're going to get off track on what you believe about Jesus Christ and who you are. That's because he recognized if you get the doctrinal issues straight, the sin issues will start to take care of themselves. But if all you focus on is sin, and I don't mean just, you know, contrived sin, like, you know, women shouldn't wear makeup and jewelry and neither should the men or whatever. As long as you're focusing on those kinds of things And you're not dwelling on the doctrine and helping people to avoid being carried away by every wind of doctrine. Then you've got people looking in the mirror instead of their heart. Then when somebody comes along and preaches right doctrine, what happens? Depending upon what those people think is correct doctrine, they'll either embrace you or kick you out. You see what I'm saying? Now let's think about this a little bit more. Where did the doctrine come from? That Paul, that Titus, that Timothy, that all of the apostles taught, where did the doctrine come from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that. Okay, now think of it this way. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave them everything He could, Matthew through John. And then He says, I have to leave. But the Holy Ghost, He's going to come in my place. Pick up where I left off. Now, He's going to remind you of all those things that I taught you. And not only that, but He will explain those things to you because He will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. So, He'll be there and He'll be receiving from me and listening to me the things that you need to know and then delivering those things to you. Then what I want you to do is turn around and deliver them to the body of Christ. So Jesus Christ is the source of the doctrine. That doctrine then is ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, what again is this doctrine? It's the doctrine of the kingdom. Where would we find it? If we wanted to know, where would we find it? Right here. Right here in this book. This is it. This book is the doctrine of the kingdom. Prophesied about in the Old Testament and delivered unto us in the New Testament. The doctrine of the kingdom is right here in this book. Now, since the source, and the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, since the source is Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then why in the world would we ever preach and teach anything other than what we see right there? Why would we do that? Because if we do, that means the source of our doctrine is something other or someone other than Jesus Christ. Now let me just give you three examples, okay? Just three. There are a lot we could look at, just three. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In fact, keep your finger here in Jude. We'll come back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Jude verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Where did this come from? What we just read, who gave that to the church? Jesus. Jesus gave this to the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is Jesus' doctrine we just read here in this book. This is what's supposed to be preached in the body of Christ today. But if somebody comes along, what, if you are not preaching that when you pray in tongues you are edifying yourself, if you don't tell the people that, for crying out loud, what are you telling them will edify them? You're flapping jaws? Give me a break. My jaws cannot edify you the way the jaws of the Holy Ghost can. And His jaws can go a lot longer than mine. Although some people might debate that. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? What I just read to you is kingdom doctrine that Jesus could not give to them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but it is kingdom doctrine that the Holy Spirit was able to step in and give to them. As much as Jesus could do, He simply said, they that believe on me will speak with new tongues. Well, I wonder what He means by that. And the Holy Spirit steps in and says, let me explain this speaking with new tongues stuff. Not only will I give that gift to you, but when you use that gift, it will edify you into the fullness of what Jesus Christ has called you to be. It will build you up on your most holy faith, and the just are supposed to live by faith, not by sight. And when you pray in tongues, it is your spirit that will be praying in divine communication with God Himself, not through some man. This is kingdom doctrine. If a church isn't preaching that, then what kingdom are they preaching? Do you see what I'm saying? So if you go into a church, you know, it doesn't take you long to figure out what's being taught in a church relative to what I just shared with you. You sit down with some of your friends in the churches that they go to and just, you know, you just kind of listen to what they say and you kind of play around with that conversation and somehow manipulate it toward tongues. I'm talking a church that believes in being filled with the Holy Ghost. And you just casually make a reference to praying in tongues, and if they give you a look like a cow looking at a new gate, you know that the pastor in that church is not preaching kingdom doctrine to those people. At least not as far as this is concerned. Guys, you can play with this all you want to, but there is no way to get around it. This is kingdom doctrine. And it came from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So why in the world would we call Him Lord, Lord, and not do the things He says? And you thought He was only talking about the Gospels and the things He said in the Gospels. That was a kingdom message for people who would be living in the kingdom. And one of the things that Jesus has said to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, filtered through the Spirit of Paul, to the body of Christ, is that when you pray in the Spirit, you are building yourself up on your most holy faith, edifying yourself. Your spirit is divine communication with God. You're praying out the mysteries of God for you. This is kingdom doctrine. What's another one? Well, if that one doesn't get people riled up, this one will. Praise God. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Take a look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you want to know kingdom prosperity, I just read it to you. That is kingdom doctrine for prosperity in the body of Christ. But when somebody comes along and hammers you that if you don't give, your healing's not going to manifest, and if you don't sow into my ministry, you're not going to get blessings, and if you don't sow a seed to meet the need, then nothing's going to happen in your life. Do you understand that does not line up with kingdom doctrine that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has given to us? Do you see this? How can you stand up and preach something other? It's because you've become convinced that the other is kingdom doctrine. Do you see this? Because if somebody doesn't believe it, they're sure not going to stand up and preach it. So therefore, those three verses right there, and there are others we could look at, but those three verses right there are the very foundation for kingdom doctrine prosperity message preaching. Those three right there. It is not the gift that you have to put in here or get cursed if you don't. See, some of you look at me like, gosh, you know why you're looking at me like that? It's because the body of Christ has been trained to live on a doctrine that does not line up with the kingdom doctrine that's been given to us by the King of the Kingdom. That's why. Kingdom doctrine is this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake, He became poor so that you through His poverty might be rich. What other promise do you need? And God is able to make all grace abound unto you. All grace abound unto you. So that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. How? By Christ Jesus. There's your kingdom prosperity. It is not based on how much you put in an offering plate. Maybe we should have taken the offering at the beginning. But what do you have? You have people in the body of Christ who are believing another doctrine. And the other doctrine says, you are not going to get blessed if you do not put it in this plate. The other doctrine says, I feel the triple blessing anointing tonight. My God, I just heard from the Holy Ghost. that all of you who will sow a $150 offering tonight, that God's going to give you a triple return on your money. Oh, come on, can you bear witness? Ooh, 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 Jesus. Oh, I feel it. Get the checkbook, honey. And then people tear up their checkbook trying to get that check out to be the first one up, just in case God wants to make it a fourfold blessing instead of a triple blessing with the first person that gets up here. Then they can't figure out how come it is nobody gets their triple blessing. Then somebody stands up and testifies how that
I got my triple blessing. They gave me a raise at work.
Man, they gave everybody a raise at work. That wasn't your triple blessing. Quit smoking dope, man, and start reading the Word. That was not a triple blessing. The company decided to give everybody a raise. It wasn't because you're offering. Let me show you another one. Turn over to 1 Peter, chapter 1. This one's going to require a little thinking. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we will be going immediately over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again. How many of you here tonight are born again? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, do you understand? This verse is talking about Y-O-U. Got it? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Okay, how were you born again? By corruptible seed or incorruptible? Incorruptible seed. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, what are those last few words? As He is, so are we, where? In this world. Okay, you're born again by incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. And as He is, that's talking about God. As He is, so are we in this world. As He eternally exists. As He is. As He I am. As He is, so are we in this world. Now, what's that say? I know, Brother Martin. It says, I'm just a sinner. Saved by grace.
Well, you know, us Christians, we are still struggling with the sin nature.
How is that possible? If I have been born again by incorruptible seed, is there anything sin-natured about God?
Nope.
Is there anything sin-natured about His Word? Then if I'm born again by the incorruptible seed of His Word, how can I still have the sin nature? If I've been born again, my second birth has come from incorruption, not corruption. Therefore, I'm born again and I don't still have the sin nature, because if as He is, so am I in this world, and God does not have a sin nature, I don't have one either. I am born again. Hallelujah. But then you have people stand up in churches and they tell you in their sermons that you still have a sin nature. And that as Christians, we still have to struggle with the sin nature. What I just read to you there in 1 Timothy, or 1 Peter, what I just read to you in 1 John, who gave that to the body of Christ?
Jesus,
that is kingdom doctrine. Do you see what I'm saying? Are you starting to get an idea of how far off base so much of the teaching is in the body of Christ when it comes to doctrine? That's why they have so much writing. That's why there's so much in from Matthew all the way through the whole New Testament. There's more about doctrine than there is about sin. Because if you get the doctrine right, you end up getting the sin issue right. When you understand you don't have a sin nature, you stop excusing your sin and saying, I can't help it because I just got a sin nature. You start realizing who you are in Christ, and there is nothing unrighteous about Jesus, and therefore there is nothing unrighteous about me. I've been made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's kingdom doctrine. But it's not necessarily body of Christ doctrine. But it's kingdom doctrine. If you're going to preach, if God's got a call on your life to preach and teach, you can't preach anything else than this and walk in His blessings and His obedience. Oh, you can create your own blessings. Just tell people if they don't give, they're going to be cursed. Just tell them that there's going to be a healing anointing on your offering tonight. You get all kinds of money. Trust me. Just get on TV and tell them right in the middle of something God spoke to you, and that the first 2,000 people that call in with a $1,000 pledge, that God's going to bring in all their lost loved ones to the kingdom. And you know, you can just lie like the devil. That's all it is. That's not kingdom doctrine. If it's not kingdom doctrine, it's got to be something else. I'll show you. Look over in, first off, Romans chapter 16. Now, I'll tell you what, on the way to Romans chapter 16, stop off at 1 Timothy. I mean, you got to pass it anyway. So just stop at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Some shall depart from the faith. You can't depart from something you were never a part of. Depart means I was a part, now I'm no longer a part. I have departed. All right? You understand what I'm saying? And he says, they're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And a lot of people have taken this and twisted it out of context to only mean certain things. Do you understand? From God's perspective, a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devil is anything that contradicts kingdom doctrine. Anything. Those three areas I just identified for you a few moments ago, and I gave you examples on both sides that read the Scripture, and then I give you the example of what's being taught. Do you understand that what's being taught, which contradicts what I read to you in Scripture, is a doctrine of devils? You say, "Oh, Brother Martin, that's pretty hard speaking there." Really? Okay. You're on your way to Romans? Go ahead. Romans chapter 16. We'll just see what kingdom doctrine is. Verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned," and do what? Have parties? Avoid them. Avoid them. Now let me put it another way. Anybody who preaches and teaches opposite of what I just showed you in those three areas of Scripture, what would be kingdom doctrine relative to their preaching and teaching? Avoid it. Now, see, you think I'm hard. I'm not being hard. Well, here's the problem, guys. There's too many people in the body of Christ who don't want to hear messages like this because it upsets what's going on. It upsets the status quo. They don't want to be challenged with the fact that they're compromising kingdom doctrine with man's doctrine. Let me show you another place. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ..." Stop! What words of the Lord Jesus Christ could he be talking about? The New Testament, remember? The doctrine has come from the Lord to the body of Christ. So what he's saying here literally is all the doctrine that is revealed to you in the New Testament. "And to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself." But Brother Martin, for crying out loud, man, I can't do that. Gosh, you're just going to mess up my church. I mean, wish I had come tonight. Wish I hadn't listened to this tape. You see, Brother Martin, if I don't have Preacher Big Time come in to our church, I mean, well, for crying out loud, Brother Martin, every time the guy comes in, we're packed to the gills. And not only that, but when he comes in and preaches Big Time, oh man, the people love him, and they get all excited, and they just run and jump all over the place, and they just love it when he comes in. And on top of all of that, the offerings are huge. Do you understand what huge offerings are like, Brother Martin? No, you probably don't, because you don't have Preacher Big Time come to your church. You just have people that disagree with Preacher Big Time come to your church, and that's why your church doesn't grow and have much money. It's because you don't jump on the bandwagon of everybody else's doctrine. I'm so sorry. I'm not too concerned. I get it. If preacher big time satisfies the itching ears of the people and gets them motivated to believing something's going to happen that isn't, and the crowds swell, and the offering plates become heavy with silver and gold and pictures of Ben, then it's okay. After all, the preacher, the people like him. How bold can I get? Okay, kingdom doctrine. Now this is a street version of kingdom doctrine. To hell with like. What? Jesus is going to bless it? He's going to say it came from heaven? If it's a doctrine of devils and people like the preacher because he delivers it? Turn to James. This is a credentialing service tonight, guys. If you're going to preach, you better hear this before you get started. And you better know how accountable you're going to be. And too many preachers are just slapped a piece of paper and told, have at it. Go to college, go to seminary, and hit the road, boy. Get you a church. No, that is not what I see. What I see in Scripture is, you better have your doctrine right before you stand behind the pulpit. The proof of that, James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters. That word masters could be translated accurately as teachers. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the what? The greater condemnation. Pastors are supposed to be teachers. Then there are also teachers that travel and teach that aren't pastoring. Do you understand that the people who are called to this kind of ministry are going to be first in line when it comes to judgment? Because they're the ones that have set the course for the body of Christ. The proof is in the rest of this chapter. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. What does he mean? That word offend means to entrap. If any man entrap or offend not in word, what word? The word that I would be delivering unto you as a minister. The word that how could I entrap you? By telling you something other than kingdom doctrine. Behold, we put bits in the horses of mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Well, why is he saying that? Because in the previous verse he said that the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. What body? The body of Christ. In other words, teachers are the one that put the bridle in the mouths of the body of Christ and guide them and direct them into the way that they're supposed to go. That's why you have so many people in the body of Christ that believe they still have a sin nature. It's because somebody's put the bridle of that teaching in their mouth and driven them in that direction. That's why you have people who do not believe that they're going to get blessed unless they give a bunch of money in an offering. That's because somebody has put a bridle in their mouth and led them in that direction, and on it goes. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that the teachers are small compared to the massive number in the body of Christ. But yet it's that little helm of the teacher that can steer the body of Christ in the wrong direction. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He's talking about the tongue of the teacher. And he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. What members? The members of the body of Christ, that it defileth the whole body. What body? The body of Christ. And setteth on fire the course of nature. What nature? Our nature to follow the direction that we are being led. And he says, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You want to know how to tame your tongue? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, 4, 14, pray in tongues. That is how you will control your tongue. Because when you're praying in tongues, it sure is hard to preach wrong doctrine. I can't preach and pray at the same time. Do you see what I mean? Now he goes on and he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. How do I curse them? Well, easy, Brother Martin. You know how you curse them. Why, you somehow, I don't know, blankety, blankety. No. That's not what he's talking about. The curse that he's talking about is when I teach you something other than kingdom doctrine that gets you off track from kingdom doctrine. I am actually preaching a curse over you, if you will, because it gets you to believing something that God will not stand in agreement with, that Jesus did not give to the body of Christ. And he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. As He is, so are we in this world. Out of the same mouth, what mouth? The mouth of the teacher, proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What blessing and cursing? Here's an example. Folks, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Accept Him and you'll be born again. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Folks, if you don't give tonight, then you're going to miss out with God. If you don't bring that money and put it in the plate, you're not. If you don't sow, you can't reap. If you don't give, you can't get, etc., etc., and so forth. Cursing, cursing, cursing. Oh, but Brother Martin, preacher this and preacher that, and minister so and so, well, they all preach that way. But what did I read to you about kingdom doctrine a few minutes ago? What did I show you as kingdom doctrine? See. And then he goes on to say, "Now the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Now in verse 11 he says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter?" The answer to that is no. He answers it in the next verse. He says, "No fountain, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So can no fountain, so can no fountain, so can no fountain, so can no fountain. So can no fountain." What did Jesus say? "Them that believe in me, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for as of yet the Holy Ghost had not yet been given." In other words, what he's saying is, when the Holy Spirit has been given to us to be our teacher, He becomes the fountain out of which flows the teaching of the doctrine of the kingdom. And he's saying the fountain of the Holy Ghost cannot produce sweet and bitter water. It is impossible. The only thing that the Holy Ghost can produce is kingdom doctrine that lines up with what Jesus Christ has said. And this is where the body of Christ gets so messed up, because we are willing to accept whatever it is somebody tells us to accept. See, the division in the body of Christ that exists today has nothing to do with sin. Nothing. It has everything to do with doctrine. Everything. That's why you have all these different churches, all these different denominations, all these different organizations, all this stuff. But get this, Jesus already settled the issue. He said, "The Holy Spirit, He's coming after me, and He will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He'll speak what He hears. He'll pick up where I left off." And Paul, he explained it even further as the Holy Spirit ministered to him. And he says, when you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself. You're praying out the mysteries. If you want more detail about it, just go over and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because in there he talks about how that the Holy Spirit, He compares spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, spiritual kingdom doctrine with the things relative to your born-again spirit and who you are in Christ. Now, here's the scary part. Just those three examples that I gave you a few minutes ago, anybody who stands behind a pulpit and preaches and teaches opposite of what you and I together read from God's Word, what we read is kingdom doctrine given to us by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If anybody stands up at any church, anywhere, I don't care if it's a camp meeting, open-air meeting, stadium of 85,000 people, or a church of 12. If anybody stands up and preaches and teaches anything other than what we have just seen here, that is kingdom doctrine, guess who is not being taught by the Holy Spirit? Guess who is delivering to you a doctrine that does not have as its source Jesus? Now, think back over your life and all the preachers that you sat under all the pastors, all the guest evangelists, all the tent meetings, all the crusades, all the TV preaching, all the radio. Think back to all of those you've ever heard. What doctrines have you heard taught? What doctrines? You see, when you make a decision to rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to work in you to correct any incorrect doctrine. But if you do not spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, if you do not do that, you are setting yourself up to be deceived. See what I said tonight? You and I both know that there are untold numbers of Christians who would really take issue with this message. Especially that part in the middle, when we read about the actual doctrines. My question to you is this, why? Maybe you heard these things that I said tonight, and you think, well, I don't know about that. Wish I hadn't come all the way over here for this. Huh? Maybe I don't believe. Why didn't I stay home and watch Lassie? I don't understand. Why? Why did that cause some inner struggle? All I did was read to you from the Word of God and then compare that to what is taught. Why would that cause conflict? Again, it goes back to the fact that the body of Christ generally is messed up in their doctrine. And Jesus has already told us how to get unmessed up. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. This is why it is so important to minister to people about being filled with the Holy Spirit and about praying in tongues. And once you've delivered that message, you encourage the people to do it, but if they don't do it, the burden is off your shoulders. Oh, you can pray for them, but you know what I mean. If you don't pray in tongues, then who is your teacher? You, Brother Martin. You, Brother Martin. Really? Then what you need to do is pray in tongues to make sure what I said tonight is right. You guys know what I say here all the time. Don't just blindly accept everything I say. Get in the Word and pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Ghost confirm or deny whatever I say. The more you meditate on this message tonight, the more you meditate on this and compare this message to things you hear preached and taught on TV, what you read in books, what you hear on tapes, on and on it goes. You compare this message to all of that and you're going to start seeing a little bit of what God sees. How that, for the most part, the body of Christ is not walking correct doctrine. Now, here's the thing about it. Every one of you in here tonight, doesn't matter if you're called to governments or an apostle, doesn't matter. Every one of you in here tonight have found out how you can walk in correct doctrine. And those of you who have been called to be a mouth to the body of Christ, in other words, you're called to deliver teaching, preaching, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you're called to that. You know now how accountable you're going to be. You know now how important this is. And you know now what you need to do. It's what you need to do to start moving into that calling, and it's what you need to do when you are in that calling, and it's what you need to do to fulfill that calling. There is no other option. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for one big thing for sure, and that is doctrine and instruction in righteousness and correction, rebuke, reproof. And if you spend time with the Holy Spirit, He is going to keep all Scripture in the context wherein He gave it. And He'll teach you. Oh, but Brother Martin, we can't understand the Bible. Sure you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Mind hath not seen, or no, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard the things that God has. But, remember this morning I said people like to talk about their butts? But, they're revealed to us by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. You absolutely can understand. Absolutely. Hey, listen, do you know who's most accountable here tonight for this? Me. Listen, you think this is tough on you? Man, it's tougher on me because I'm the one stepping out here on the limb And I'm the one that's going to be held accountable for this message, not anybody else in this church, but me. Everywhere I go and preach, I'll be the one held accountable. Any of you that are here tonight, wherever you go and preach and teach, no matter what the calling, you're the one that will be held accountable, especially if you're called to that area of being a teacher. This is why it is not good. You're going to... We're closing.
What does that mean?
Absolutely not. This is why. Can I give you an example? A real extreme example? I personally know of a situation where a pastor had someone in his church that had only been born again for 2 weeks and let him preach. I'm serious. A Holy Ghost church. Why would that pastor do that? Because, no disrespect to him. I mean, he might be the nicest guy in the whole wide world. I've never personally met him. But he's off on his doctrine. Especially that part about a novice. Praise God. Okay. The Lord said, you're done.